preach on, we had a song. So I hope it speaks to you the way it speaks to me. I wish we'd all been ready.
Thank you, Brother Terry, Mike, and Kyle. If you brought your copy of God's Word, please turn to Matthew chapter 24. I started a series of sermons, or started a series 3 weeks ago, and today I want to continue as we look at Matthew chapter 24. And then if you would just turn to the book of Revelation, and we'll be looking through that book. So if you would... I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you. I don't know if you'll have time to find all of it. You might want to jot it down if you're taking notes or doing an outline. So I appreciate Terry and the guys singing. I wish we'd all been ready, because it really goes with what I want to share and what God would have us to hear this morning. Found in Matthew chapter 24, and we want to look at verse 40 through 42. Matthew 24, verse 40, and we'll read through verse 42. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Last week I shared a sermon about the rapture, about those that are taken. We focused on the word taken. This morning I want us to focus on that word left. Last week we talked about the rapture. And today I want to share a sermon that relates to the unsaved. And I've entitled this sermon, The Earth Dwellers' Outcome. The Earth Dwellers' Outcome. Now I want you to imagine just for a moment a field that's scattered with all different types of metal. It has bronze and it has zinc and it has copper and it has iron. Some of the metal is embedded. Some of the metal is on top of the ground. Some metal is partially under the ground. Some metal is under the ground. So just imagine this great field of metal, some embedded, some laid on top. And then imagine, if you will, this giant magnet that just sweeps over that field. And as the magnet goes over that field, only the iron is taken up to that magnet. Every piece of iron on that field or embedded in that field is caught up or taken up by that giant magnet. Now the question is, why is the iron the only metal that's taken up? Well, the answer is real simple. The iron has the same nature as the magnet. Now, that's the picture of the second coming of Jesus. And it's also an illustration of Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 and 42 that we just read. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, only those that have His nature will be called up to meet Him in the air. If you will, jot down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so the Bible says that we have, as God's children, a divine nature. Those who have been born again, those who have experienced the new birth, who have been saved, those who have been born again will be taken. They'll be called up when Christ comes again. Now, I want you to remember and note the word left in Matthew 24. The word describes those who do not know the Lord, and they do not have a nature as unto the Lord. And because of that, they're going to be left. Now, there's a phrase in the book of Revelation that describes those that are left. And it appears about 11 times. And the phrase is this: them that dwell on the earth. Them that dwell on the earth. Them that dwell on the earth. And the words on the earth literally mean to dwell down, to settle down. And so the book of Revelation tells us about people who have settled down in this world. The Bible describes them as earth dwellers. However, the phrase, them that dwell on the earth, is never used to describe the people of God. The people of God have been born again, and the Bible says that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're just passing through this world. An old hymn that I like to quote, I've done it several times, and I'll share it again this morning. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My pleasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. The Bible says, as a Christian, we're just strangers and pilgrims, and we're passing through this world. And so if you're saved, this world is not your home. You're going to heaven and I'm going to heaven. However, there is a group of people who have never been saved, and they are in the category of earth dwellers. Now, Revelation chapter 3, if you would turn there with me. And I said a few moments ago, we're going to be covering a lot of scripture. But in Revelation chapter 3, and we'll look at this passage again in a few minutes. But Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that," notice this, "that dwell on the earth." Earth dwellers. Those are them that dwell upon the earth. So the Bible tells us that after Christ takes his church or calls the saved to be with him, after the rapture of Jesus Christ, the earth dwellers, those that are not taken, those that are left, the Bible says they'll have a new king over them. Now today I want us to look at three important words in God's Word as it relates to the earth dwellers, those that are left behind. You may want to jot these words down. I'll go ahead and mention them to begin with. First of all, jot down tribulation. Jot down the word evangelization. And jot down the word revelation. Three words that we want to look at this morning as they relate to these earth dwellers, those that dwell on the earth after Christ raptures the church, after the Christians are taken from the church. The first is tribulation. The Bible says when Christ returns, every born-again believer is going to be taken up. The rapture will occur and all saved people will be taken up. Now, I want you to think about that just a moment. Think about all the chaos that's going to be on the face of the earth after all saved people are taken up. Think about businesses that have Christians working in their businesses and working hard and doing their job, taking care of the company, doing what God would expect them to be as a Christian worker. Think of the businesses and how they would be affected. Think about the businesses after Christians have been taken. Think of the government. We have Christians in government. Think how the government is now with Christians in government. And think how government would be after the Christians are taken out. Think of our school system with godly teachers and godly students. Think how the school system will be when all of a sudden all of God's people are taken out of the school system. Think about those that work in hospitals and caregiving institutes and how all of God's people will be taken out. Think about families with husbands and wives and children, and all of a sudden the Christian in that family is taken out. The others are left behind. Think about a world in which not one born again believer remains. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Think about that. Can you imagine what it would be like in a city where there's no Christians? There's no Christian witness. There's no Christians. You see, there is coming a day when those who are left behind will desire to have a Christian influence in the world, but there will be none. Amen. There won't be any. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. We're to preserve the earth as Christians. We are to prevent decay in this old world in which we live. But when we're taken away, the world will become nothing more than rottenness. The Bible says not only are we the salt of the world or the earth, we are the light of the world. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine there's coming a day when the light will be removed from the world and there will not be a single Christian witness in any form whatsoever in this world? Total darkness in regards to morality. Think of that. One of these days, all of God's preachers are going to be gone. Preachers are kind of like, my brother-in-law is a lawyer. And I tell him preachers are kind of like lawyers. Nobody likes them until they need one. And that's about right. Can you imagine? No preachers here. Let me ask you to imagine this. There's all the saved are going to be gone. Preachers are going to be gone. All the saved are going to be gone. And the Bible says there'll be a period of time on earth known as the tribulation. The Old Testament refers to this as the day of the Lord. Some passages it refers to it as the day of Jacob's trouble. Daniel refers to it as the 70th week. A period of 7 years of tribulation on earth. Jesus referred to the tribulation in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 21, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be." So Jesus just refers to that period of time as the great tribulation. A great tribulation, a brief period of time on earth between the rapture when God comes for the saints and the revelation when God comes with His saints 7 years later. The tribulation. Now in chapters Revelation 6 through 19, those chapters share with us some of the things that are going to take place in this great tribulation. We're told about seven seals, and we're told about seven trumpets, and we're told about seven bowls, B-O-W-L-S. We're told about seven bowls. All of those have to do with physical disturbances during the tribulation period. We don't have time to go into all of those. So there is a great tribulation promised in God's Word. Then there is a great personality during the tribulation. The Bible refers to this person as the Antichrist. 1 John, and I'm going to be reading chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And listen, if you will, at verse 18. The Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And then 1 John chapter 4, listen to verse 3. "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." And so you have this Antichrist. So the Bible says that there will be a great personality during this tribulation period known as the Antichrist. He will be on earth, he will be in place of Christ, and he will be against Christ. Now, if you will, look back at 2 Thessalonians. We want to look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Look at verse 3. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away." There's going to be an apostasy that takes place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And then verse 4. "Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So you have this Antichrist. Now, I want to show you how the Antichrist relates to those earth dwellers. Remember the earth dwellers, those that are left behind. Revelation chapter 13. Go ahead and turn over there if you will. Revelation 13. Now, I want you to notice the Antichrist and the earth dwellers. Now, them that dwell on the earth appears about four times there in Revelation 13. And I want you to know, first of all, how he will be political. Revelation 13, look at, if you will, at verse 1. "As he will be political. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns upon the horns, 10 crowns upon the heads, the names of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like the leopard, the feet were his feet of a bear, and his mouth is mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power in his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. in verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" According to the Bible, and we don't have time to go into all of this, you have a coming world ruler who will preside over this one world government, and that is the Antichrist. Revelation, look at 13, and I want you to, chapter 13, and look at verse 4. Said he will be empowered by the dragon, by Satan himself. Revelation 13, if you would, look at verse 5 just for a moment. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things." He's going to be able to speak pleasantries, and he's going to be able to speak with all types of famous speech and great things and blasphemies. "And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he'll rule over the world politically. But then he'll rule also over the world economically." Look at chapter 13, verse 16. Politically and economically. "And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead." That word "receive" is an important word because literally it means to ask for. So friend, the Bible says that the earth dwellers, those that are left behind when Jesus comes, will be required to give, to get a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. And they will even ask to receive the mark. You know, 50 years ago, no one would have ever thought it possible that economically we would have a one world government. 50 years ago, no one would have thought it possible that a mark could be placed on your forehead or put on your hand. But first of all, the mark implies this global economy, and he refers to it here just a little. 50 years ago, a global economy was unheard of, but not anymore. If stock market in Japan gets shaky, but then the stock market in London gets shaky. If stock market gets shaky in London, the stock market in New York, it gets shaky. We live in a global economy. You buy a car, and there's perhaps over 6 countries that's involved in making your car, had their part in the design or mechanism or the electronics or the marketing or the banking or the legal work of building your car. So we're involved in a global economy. We have all kinds of identification chips today. Little chips that can be inserted, in your pets, and it tells all about your pet and all its vaccinations and all of its health records. But not only that, but also humans also can have the little chips. The very chip, it's called the very chip. It's about the size of a grain of rice that contains so much information about individuals. The point is this: we're living in a period of time in which everything prophesied in the Bible can literally take place right now. And during the tribulation, you'll have the mark of the beast in order to buy or to sell. You go to the gas station in order to get gas, you got to show them the mark. Go to the grocery store in order to purchase your food, you got to show the mark. Look at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. He uses the word again, verse 9. He says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or on his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb." He literally begs for the mark. Give me the mark. Let me have the mark. And so the earth dwellers will decide to settle down with the mark in this old world. Friend, listen, today you're going to have to choose what world you're going to be a part of. I mean, the ruler during the tribulation, he'll rule over the world economically, politically, but also he'll rule over it religiously. Look at chapter 13, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, spoke as a dragon. He exercised his power over the first beast before him." This is the false prophet, sidekick to the Antichrist. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he deceives the earth dwellers. So you have the tribulation. And then real quick, let's think just a moment about the evangelization. During this tribulation time, there's going to be a remarkable evangelization of the people of the world. Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read verse 14. Listen to what it says. "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." If you will, look at Revelation chapter 11 as we think about the evangelization. It speaks about two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Look, if you will, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in like manner be killed." Verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven." Some people believe that this is Elijah that he's speaking of. And "that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and the powers over water to turn them to blood." Some think this is the other witnesses, Moses, that he's speaking of. "And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." So there'll be two witnesses who will preach during this tribulation period. Now, the question is, who will they win? Look at chapter 7, and look at verse 4. He says, "And I heard a number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So there are going to be 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So 144,000 Jews will be converted during this period of time. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen a Jew that's been converted and on fire for Jesus Christ? You remember old Paul? Man, just think how Paul was converted, and he was on fire for Jesus Christ. I had a good friend. He's going to be with the Lord now. His name's Jerry Schwimmer. And Jerry's a good friend of mine. He helped us in revival here. But Jerry was born Jewish, raised in a Jewish home, was converted several years in his adulthood. And I'm going to tell you what, he loved the Lord, served the Lord. Just a fantastic, he was an evangelist. Can you imagine 144,000 Apostle Paul's preaching the gospel? That's what you have here in the book of Revelation. You say, well, will it do any good? Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Look at verse 13. "And one of the elders answered, said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence they came? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." My goodness gracious. There'll be a great revival that takes place in God's people. 144,000 of them will come to know Him. Now, the question is, what about the earth dwellers? Will they have a second chance to be saved? A lot of debate about this. Well, I think I'll just take my chances and I'll reject Christ now. And after the rapture, during the tribulation, I may have a chance to be saved. Real important. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I'm fixing to close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he gives us a warning there. Gives us a warning in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look if you will at verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The earth dwellers heard the gospel preached. Verse 11, and for this cause they received not the truth. For this cause shall God send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Literally, they believed the lie. Verse 12, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasures in unrighteousness. Now, it's real simple. Today, we have a choice to make. That choice is to receive the truth that's been delivered and be saved. As the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart, you receive the truth. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus came and He died on the cross for my sins, and He was buried and He arose again. And He tells me that if I would turn to Him and Him alone and ask Him to forgive me and come into my life and save me, that He'll save me. And I'll experience this new birth. I receive that truth into my life. I receive the truth to be saved. Or you can reject the truth. And if Jesus comes, you'll be an earth dweller. Now that's the two choices. There'll never be, the way I understand, another opportunity to be saved. So as the Holy Spirit convicts you today, you better get saved today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So you have the tribulation, you have the evangelization, and I'm going to close with this, you have the revelation. Now in Daniel chapter 9, you don't have to turn. Verse 27 tells of a peace treaty between this Antichrist and Israel. And in the middle of that tribulation, that's going to be broken. And the Antichrist is going to move to Jerusalem. He's going to set up his kingdom there. And this false prophet is going to build an image of the beast, and he's going to put it in the temple. And the Antichrist is going to declare himself as God. And the Jewish people are going to rebel against the Antichrist. And the nations of Israel, the nation of Israel, will be attacked from all sides with its neighbors. The southern part, Egypt, Daniel 11, verse 40. You have the east. You have Syria in Revelation chapter 16. You have the north, which is Ezekiel 37 and 38. All those Islamic nations are coming against Israel. Revelation 16 talks about a crossing of the Euphrates River. We're told right now that Turkey has a dam built across the Euphrates, and they can close the Euphrates, the flow of the water, any minute. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, how armies are going to march, not just an army, but 200 million will pass across the Euphrates toward Israel. You got China, you got Japan. And when the Jews rebel, this Antichrist is going to gather his forces. Revelation 16, verse 14. Verse 16 says they're going to march across the valley of Jezreel. I had an opportunity to go to that valley and look across that valley. That valley is 14 miles wide. It's 20 miles long. It's said to be the most perfect battlefield on the face of the earth. And all these armies are going to march through that valley toward Israel, and as they're moving down from Megiddo down through the valley of Jezreel, there's going to be something that takes place. They're going to be doing something that they've been wanting to do for centuries, and that's to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the Jew, and to whip God. They've been wanting to do that, and they're going to be approaching Jerusalem at this time. And then suddenly something happens. God gives a signal. Look, if you will, at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And look, if you will, at verse 11. Verse 11 says this. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And so there in Revelation 19, while all this marching is going on toward Jerusalem, you have Jesus is coming out of heaven. Look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven, that's us, that's you and I as Christians, we followed him upon wild horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, there won't be any weapons used at this final battle on God's part. Look at verse 15. And out of his mouth, Jesus, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. Not a shot fired. Just one word from the mouth. Just a word. Same way with Lazarus. Come forth. Lazarus came forth. Same way, just a word from a woman that was possessed with demons. The demons came out. Same way with the fig tree. And just one word and this fig tree withered. It just be one word, it'll all be over. And Jesus will rule and reign on earth, we're told, for 1,000 years. Now here's a question. The question is this. Are you an earth dweller? Is this place the only place you have? Jesus said this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Is this your place? Or do you have another place? Revelation chapter 12 puts it pretty simple. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Some dwelling in heaven. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You have earth dwellers, Revelation 12, verse 12. You have heaven dwellers. So you have a choice, this world or heaven. Now the question is this. If Jesus should come back today, taken or left? Taken or left? Place in heaven? Place on the earth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or the Antichrist as your king? Experiencing the blessings of heaven, or the tribulation of what waits on earth? Now folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries his coming, you will be somewhere. And for a lot of us, it won't be 100 years. Heaven, taken or left? Earth dweller, heaven dweller. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity we have just to cover a lot of scripture.